We've done many programs about HIV, where it came from, accidental or otherwise. It was certainly introduced into the African population. And over there now, the statistics are withering to contemplate about how many people are dying. Africa is imploding.
Africa is a phenomenal continent. That's the point. It's very, very important to the Illuminati. I mean, the British headed there, and for the British, really Illuminati in terms of the powers controlling that invasion. Indeed, the European expansion in general into Africa was Illuminati inspired, and the timescale was brought about by them. And you can follow the different streams of invasions of people from Europe into Africa. Mm-hmm. And as you follow the different streams, you can actually show that from the first arrival of the European peoples in the Cape, maybe even earlier that, but officially in the Cape, right to the present day, and the ruling families that control that continent, they are connected all the way through. It's an unbroken stream, just the personnel have changed. And when you go to Africa, the idea that that continent cannot feed itself is utterly, utterly ludicrous. And indeed, Africa is just a wonderful example that tells the story of the world in terms of the manipulation. There is no reason for one single person, one single child in that continent to be hungry. No way. No need. But if you had abundance and people in Africa were left to rule themselves and to live their own lives, you would have abundance. Abundance equals choice. Choice equals freedom. So what we have all around the world, and Africa is a fantastic example, is the creation of dependency through scarcity. So if you start wars, you destroy the food-growing land. If you fill the food-growing land with transnational corporations growing for the Western markets, etc., you create scarcity. Scarcity equals dependency. Dependency equals control. And that's what's going on.
Indeed. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll pause, take our top of the hour break, come right back in about 6 or 7 minutes. With Mr. Credo Mutwa and David Icke. See you then. All right, we are live on the phone to Credo Mutwa in South Africa and David Icke here in the States, who was, as always, at one point or another on one of his worldwide tours. David, you had some issues in Canada I want to touch on very briefly, then get back to our story here about our reptilian overlords, our elder brothers, as Credo calls them, as his people do. Tell us what happened in Canada just briefly. First of all, there were a lot of people expressing concern for your physical well-being.
Well, it was a build-up, really. Over about 4 weeks before I arrived, the two people who were putting the events on, they were tremendous, two women. They stuck with it when almost everyone else would have caved in. And they wouldn't cave in. And as a result of that, when I arrived at Ottawa Airport, I got off the plane, and I was the last off the plane from at the back of the immigration queue. And suddenly I looked up, and there's this uniformed lady standing next to me, looking at me like a shark that's just found lunch, you know. And so I thought, all right, what's all that about? I made a bit of a joke with her, and then saw her go back and say to another immigration official behind the kind of booths, that's him. So I thought, well, it's going to be an interesting night.
She didn't ask you to autograph one of your books either.
No, she didn't. No, it wasn't one of them. No, actually, she said it so openly. I thought her application for a plainclothes job, surveillance job, ought to be reconsidered. And it was quite funny, really. When I got to the booth, handed my passport and stuff, and I'm having a joke with the guy, and everything's kind of fine. And then he punched my name up on his computer, and the whole energy changed. And he just said to me, immigration. And I saw the screen a little bit later when I was left in an office, which I was for a long time. And it just said my name, and then it said October the 1st, and in big capital letters, watch for. And over the next goodness knows how many hours, I got out of the place about 2 a.m. in the morning. They'd looked through every piece of clothing, and the guy was wearing rubber gloves. He must have known about my socks. And he read every piece of material. And being a researcher, I carry so much material around, which I'm reading all the time. And he read all that stuff and could find absolutely nothing to back up this idea that I'm anti anything in terms of racial thing. It's a great thing if you want to throw mud at someone, because then you know you get the media and people just believe it. But interestingly, it got as far as the fact that the head of the hate unit was actually in the audience when I spoke in Toronto, and said to one of the organizers, "I enjoyed the talk," which was quite ironic, really, and of course found nothing. But when I walked off the stage at Toronto, I walked about a few strides behind the curtain, and there were some immigration police saying that if I didn't report to immigration the next morning, they would arrest me and all this stuff. And basically, they were trying to prevent me from talking by using, first of all, he's anti-Semitic, which they couldn't hang anything on because it's just nonsensical. Mm-hmm. When that failed, they turned on the immigration law and can you speak without the right pieces of paper and all this stuff. But in the end, all three events went ahead thanks to phenomenal support from people in Canada. I mean, it was just incredible, the support there. And, you know, when you're getting closer and closer to uncovering this stuff, and as I say, this has really been upped against me since the reptilian thing was introduced in the story, which Credo knows enormous amounts about, you're going to draw in people who are going to try to stop you. I mean, it's just part of it, and no one said it would be easy, but yeah, I'm just getting on with it. I don't even think about anyone possibly stopping this. There's an energy emerging on the planet now, a new vibration, literally, that's waking people up and opening people's eyes. And that's an energy which you challenge at your peril, really. And I think myself that it's easy to look at the world as it is and get caught in the idea that it's hopeless. But you can look at something in its dying state, and it can seem chaotic, it can seem hopeless. But actually what you're looking at is the death throes of an old system. And I'm absolutely convinced that we're in the death throes in an old system. And this system's coming down. It's coming down in the next few years. And we're going to have some bumpy years while it happens. But I'm incredibly optimistic about the future, not least that people like Credo with this enormous knowledge are now coming out, and the pieces in the puzzle are being linked and confirmed. Knowing what you're dealing with is halfway to dealing with it. Not knowing what you're dealing with, it can be very difficult because everything's kind of not there. You can't touch it. You can't taste it. You can't see it. How do you deal with it? Mm-hmm. What's happening now is the veil's lifting. And bizarre as the story may be, it's becoming increasingly obvious that what has actually happened is that this reptilian group, which Credo calls the Chitahuri, came here, and I think it's fascinating what he says about the fact that they actually were here once and then went away and have come back. This would explain a lot of things about the compatibility between them and the human race in many ways. And they interbred with humanity, creating hybrid bloodlines. And when you follow the genealogy, and I'm really starting to compile some of this genealogy now of the ruling families of the world, and they go back to the ancient royal kings and rulers of the ancient Near and Middle East, great numbers of them do. And that's what the Sumerian tablets and other ancient accounts say, the crossbreeds between the gods and humanity, that they were the positions they held, the royal ruling power of that area of the world. And now the genealogy is starting to show that the people in control of the world today, in banking, in politics, and et cetera, all these institutions of power, actually go back to that same group of bloodlines. Mm-hmm. And in effect, the bloodlines of the reptilians are running the planet, and they're the ones that end up in the positions of power. And what's fascinating about what Credo's saying is he was telling me when I was in with him a few weeks ago that actually the royal lines of Black Africa fall into this same story.
They're all in
of it. Claiming descendants from these gods. Yeah.
They're all in it. Wow, fascinating. Credo, tell us what these reptilians or elder brothers look like, and do they manifest themselves today? Do some people see them today in your world?
Yes, sir, they do. But because we human beings have got a very deadly weakness in us, we are conditioned only to see certain things and not to see others, to see certain shapes and not to see others. And many people seeing something like a reptile man will not be able to think, to realize what they are seeing. Some of them become so rejecting of what they see that they don't see it at all. And this, you can also find this thing amongst animals. There are animals which are capable of seeing certain shapes, but not others. We are like that. Now, these creatures, we are told, stand about 6 feet or 7 feet high.
Yes.
They are very slender in appearance, and their arms and legs are flexible. Where our arms have got knees, their arms and legs move, they seem to have no joints, but they seem to be made entirely of flexible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, sir, they have got scaly skin, and they have got two eyes or three eyes. The warrior, they go into classes. The warrior class has got two eyes only, which are very, very terrible, like those of a python, which is why we call them Ntwari, Moon Ntwari, that is human being python. And the higher class have got three eyes, one in the center of their foreheads. The big class have got horns on their heads,
yes,
or horn-like protuberances, of which there are two, one above on either side of the head. And the warrior class have got a number of short, upward-turning, horn-like things on their heads. Now, what I find amazing, sir, is this, that in some films which have been made nowadays, there is a film about, a film called Star Wars, the recent one.
Yes, yes.
In that Star Wars film, sir, there is, amongst its characters, there is a Chitauri exactly. He is called Maul, Darth Maul. And that is exactly how a warrior Chitauri looks like,
wow,
with a large head, very cold eyes, and small horns forming like a crown all around his head. And African wood covers locked up in museums all over the world are carvings from Africa which show human-like creatures with horns all around their heads.
Fascinating, fascinating. We'll pause and come right back and carry on with Credo of Mutwa and David Icke in just a couple minutes. And back with Credo. Credo, when you saw the reptilian in the Star Wars film, what went through your mind? Did you view it as an intent to make people familiar with this being, or some incredible accident? How did you see it?
You know, sir, I do not understand the traditions of the white people, unfortunately. But I was amazed. This filmmaker, how did he come to know about such a creature?
Mm-hmm.
Because exactly as Darth Maul is portrayed in the film, that when my now late wife saw a magazine article on this film, she pointed out, this is a Chitauri. This is one of our elder brothers. I had not noticed it because I don't read much. But when I looked, I was really startled. Right down to the color, the striped red and black, I asked myself, where do these film producers see these creatures? It can't be their imagination.
You know, today, Credo, I was in a major American department store, and they have displays in most stores now, and many of them, 6 and 7 feet tall of this particular character in the Star Wars film, this Darth Maul. He is everywhere.
Oh.
You see his image all over the place.
But please, one may sound crazy when one asks this question, which I'm going to ask you, sir. Are we being prepared for something? Are we being prepared for a major event where such creatures will be seen?
It would certainly seem to be a possibility. Let me leave you with that. The chances of this being coincidence are very, very small, in my opinion. Somebody seems to know something, and when you see the image everywhere, you see it on toys, you see it on cardboard life-size cutouts in department stores, it's all over the place. And if it's an accident, I'd like to know the odds on that, David Icke.
Yeah, I think something's definitely being prepared in this way. One of the parts of the biggest secret, I list all the reptilian imagery that's in front of our faces, not least in children's cartoons and what have you. And the more that I've traveled around the world, and it's like, you know, what Claudia was talking about earlier, it's the blind spot. You know, people, professors of science who deny any other form of existence except the physical, are very, very unlikely to see spirits and ghosts and stuff because their mind's blocked from them. And it's that same thing that someone says to you, have you seen that new car that's going around? Look, there's one there. And you haven't seen it, haven't noticed it before. But once you've seen it, suddenly you start seeing them all over the place, these new cars, but you haven't noticed them before.
We've seen that so many times over the years, people on this program. Eyewitnesses to UFO events, flying saucers, whatever you want to call them, will be in a crowd of people, and they'll say, my friend and I saw it, but no one else seemed to notice, and they can't understand it. Yeah.
But what has happened to people, including myself, as this reptilian thing is coming into my research, is that suddenly you start to notice the reptilian imagery all around us. I mean, one of the great epicenters of the Illuminati is the City of London, the financial district, and the place running on from there called Temple Bar, which is the center of the global legal profession. And, of course, money and law are the two great sources of human control, and they're right next to each other in the City of London. And you go around those two places, and the reptilian imagery is unbelievable. I mean, you have to go past flying reptiles on both sides of the road when you enter the City of London. The actual coat of arms of the City of London Financial District is two flying reptiles. You start looking at the coats of arms of some of these great aristocratic families that come from these reptilian crossbreed bloodlines. And again, the flying reptiles all over the place. And Credo is extremely knowledgeable on the reptilian symbolism in ancient cultures. And one of the fascinating things he told me, which explains so much, is that this Chitahuri, this reptilian group, whatever its origin, told the people right from the start, if you depict us as we really look, then it's instant death. And as he said, what happened as a result of that is that they started to depict the gods symbolically, not literally. So then you have, of course, right across the ancient world, wherever you go, the imagery of serpent gods, of snake gods, of scale imagery, even of fish gods, of course, with the scales and stuff. And this is where all this endless imagery comes from, trying to symbolize these beings without literally doing it because of the consequences they understood they would get.
All right. Coming up on the next break, getting a lot of interesting email. I won't be able to answer it, of course, but Credo, will you be able to stay on with us for a little while longer on the program?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, my friend. Hold on. We have to pause. And, David, you mentioned videos. I'd like you to get ready to tell us about that. I assume they'll be available to all of us soon, if they're not now.
Yeah, they're just available, actually. They were recorded literally just a short number of weeks ago in South Africa with Credo, and they're stunning.